Sustaining It Live with Rita Steele on 95BFM.
Are you there, Rita Steele?
I am. How are you guys?
Not bad. How are you?
Yeah, all right.
Not going too crazy.
I'm actually enjoying it. Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah, I think you are allowed to say that now, but it's early days. And we know that you've got a bunch of kids at home, so you've probably got more things to sort of... you've got to make up more shit than most people. So.
Yeah, I do somewhat regret, in some ways, the two children I have, because otherwise I'd just be writing music and really loving it. But they're endless fun, and the first couple of days was awful, and now I'm still getting the hang of it and starting to get to know them a bit better, and just loving the peace and quiet. There's so many more birds.
It is quiet everywhere,
lovely.
For sure. I've been kind of keep my voice down even outside. You know what I mean? It's like real weird.
Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, I've heard lots of awful things, but my experience with the outside world is that everyone's actually a lot nicer to each other as well. I don't know.
Yeah, because nobody's touching anyone inappropriately or anything like that, because they can't.
Yeah, totally. It's definitely a great opportunity for us to reject some of the things we didn't like when we do, you know.
Sorry, Rita, I've got John over here as well. John's just in the CD library. So.
Can you hear me, Rita?
Oh, I can.
Have you left the house yet?
No, I haven't, actually.
Far out.
I was just thinking, well, I went into isolation a little bit before everyone else as well, and also I've had a broken foot, so I was ahead of the curve.
Wait,
six weeks ago.
To make yourself stay at home, you broke your foot. That's dedication, bro. Hard on.
I was testing it out 6 weeks ago or so. You know, what's it like to stay in bed for 6 weeks?
I wonder if anyone's got enough stuff where they can actually stay at home for the whole month. Like, that would be impressive. Text us into 5395 if you actually, like, man, Jason Kerrison with that bunker, eh? We all sort of took the piss, but where the fuck does he actually live, eh? Let's have a look.
Yeah. I mean, there's people, like, I've been reading about people that are, you know, living in the middle of nowhere, and they're well and truly sorted because they've been
kill a chicken
sort of expecting
kind of thing.
This. Yeah, hard out, you know, like, you know, all the food and veggies and whatnot. So, you know, good on them. And what I might do is actually the next couple of weeks get one of them on the phone to have a chat to us about what their lives look like.
Sustainable living. You know, let's give a chat.
Yeah, totally.
Totally. What's up? Where are you taking us today, though?
Yeah, today what I sort of talk about is how we could use this opportunity to relook at the way that we live alongside animals.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is no surprise to all the virologists, I think we called, in the world that this has actually happened.
Right.
Because increasingly we have been living, we're kind of at carrying capacity. We're getting to the point where there's not a lot of room left on Earth or resources left on Earth.
Well, it came about because we stacked a couple of different freaky animals on top of each other, right? And one had the ability to spread the thing, and the other thing had the thing. One that actually did it kind of looks like a little Pokemon or something. It's like a cute little armadillo thing. Like, if the thing's got armor like that, probably shouldn't be eating it. If you can't sort of sink your teeth straight into it.
I think it's actually that they use their scales in a I don't know exactly, and like a bunch of medicine.
It's cute as hell. Anyway, that's my point.
Yeah, and there's some really interesting work that the World Bank has done on this, because everyone gives, you know, the Chinese or whoever a hard time about using bear bile and whatnot. But a lot of the properties in some of these things have actually been found to be effective.
Right.
So, for example, I think and the only way to really stop the trade of them is to kind of find an alternative. And when I was at uni learning about this stuff, one of the lecturers actually worked for the World Bank and was doing a lot of work around ivory. And one of the things he'd studied was what had stopped the trade of tiger semen, I think it was. And they were using that to...
I'm sorry, did you just say tiger semen?
Yeah.
Just checking.
Carry on.
Carry on.
And they were using that in the East as a, what is it called?
It's good around the eyes, get rid of the crow's feet?
No, it was increased your sex drive.
Oh, right, yeah, fuck like
so,
a bird.
And stopped, and impotence. Is that the word? Yeah.
Are tigers good at sex? Has anyone checked?
I think so.
Okay.
I don't know. There was obviously something in it that was, you know, whether or not it was like testosterone or something that kind of boosted sex drive. But what stopped that actually was, or halted that trade, was the discovery of Viagra. And so all of a sudden they didn't need to go to tigers for it. So there's a whole lot of these like things that we use animals for, like bear bile, which has actually got some properties around anti-cancer properties.
Heaps of it is about boners though, eh? Like the rhino horn, it all goes back to boners, like cobra shit. Everything's just goes back to the stiffy for some reason.
Yeah, and the ones that genuinely do work, I guess, that, you know, that's where you've got the issue, because it's really hard to make people stop doing something that does work. So I think
Or it's like thousands of years old as well. Tradition is I've got a big problem with tradition, Rita. I'm not a fan of tradition.
Although, like I say, the tiger semen thing managed to stop with a cheaper alternative, right? So you know, there is hope that we can stop these. And pangolin.
Yeah, but people are still drinking tiger semen. You know,
we've got
a massive Fu Manchu somewhere and like a thing playing some kind of foreign style of backgammon and just sipping on tiger semen.
Stop drinking the tiger semen. And I guess what I think we need to be really careful about doing is not just pointing the finger at these, you know, places that.
No,
have,
totally.
I think they're called wet markets.
Yeah, that's why corrected myself. I was like, I was about to say they, but I'm like, no, we. It's a fucking worldwide issue.
Because I tell you what, you know, and don't get me wrong, you know, as an animal lover, and I can't say an animal rights activist because I'm not a vegetarian. I do occasionally, I don't go out of my way to buy it, but I do eat it if it's on a pizza or whatever, and I'm not going to make
it.
A fuss about it. So I can't say I'm an animal rights activist because at the same time, like, any death is not fair on them. But I do consider myself as someone that does love animals, so I do think that those wet markets, and you know, I always kind of shudder and can't believe that people get photos taken with lions and stuff. But I do have to remind people, I did start watching Tiger King.
Oh, I've watched it. John, you've seen it?
Yes, I have.
Sweet.
So we cannot in the West start pointing fingers at wet markets when we have people living with tigers and lions and monkeys in their houses, because that's how the stuff spreads.
I wonder,
you know,
if he looked into getting the semen out of his tigers as well, sending that offshore.
Oh, mate, there are some questions. There is a lot of questions, and that is definitely one of them. Some weird stuff going on behind the scenes in that.
Do you know what's great about today? I did not think I was going to talk about tiger semen this much, or even say it that many times.
I think it's on everyone's mind, though, that has seen Tiger King.
Okay, mate.
That was some wild stuff, man. If anyone out there hasn't seen it, find someone's Netflix login.
It's not bad. It's not bad. Only in America.
Yeah. So there's kind of two ways that these viruses or diseases jump. One is a spillover event, which is basically like when we come into contact with a disease that we're susceptible to, but we don't often get exposed to. And a really good example of that is somebody living, say, with a tiger or with a
exotic
with a chicken.
Oh, right,
or
yeah.
A chicken's probably a good one because you can get salmonella. You know, we don't normally have the opportunity to get salmonella unless you're sort of living in a situation where it's right there in your face. And then the other thing, of course, is the species jump. So when diseases undergo genetic changes and jump from species to species, and those two things combined are really quite dangerous. AIDS is a really good example of that. So HIV, I should say, sorry, it's a really good example of that. The virus was genetically mutated so it could jump to a human, but on top of that, the ability for a human to be exposed to it by being around a monkey and monkey blood, which, you know, we wouldn't have been for the most part in our evolutionary history. We kind of left monkeys alone. So that's an issue, and we've got to think about the fact that we've got 70 billion farmed animals. You know, and on top of that, you know, that wildlife trading that we were just talking about, and then of course of habitat destruction, which means when you're building roads, you're coming across these animals, and then once they're built, and how the villages are built, then these animals are coming in to what was their home and having interactions with humans that they wouldn't have had before either. So
there can't be a more poignant time to go vegan, really, if you look at all the diseases and shit. Like,
that is just it. Like, there's not a lot of positives. Like, the more and more we know about nutrition, the more we can fulfill those protein needs. And, you know, the only one that you can't get is B12. You can get them in the pill now, you know. So
Eat some dirt.
I really don't recommend that because then you'll probably get Legionnaires.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah, but that Legionnaires sounds quite vintage.
But people get it still.
Someone's just texting in, is this woman a scientist? Question mark. Sure.
This is not my area. I am a scientist, but this is not my area.
Are you really a scientist?
Yeah.
Why the fuck? I don't know. I could have told people that I know a scientist for ages.
Just think I'd Googled all this stuff.
The thing is, I'm friends with Rita, everyone. I'm not being rude. I just... You don't really look into what your friends are doing, you know?
yes, I am.
Rad.
And my...
how about that, Texter?
My major is environmental science, but I also was on the path to go to vet school, which is also why I've got a bit of an interest in animals.
John.
Before I had children and they...
Rita's a scientist,
made me realize
Did you
studying
hear?
Is hard with kids.
Rita, I'm just thinking about the wet markets and the way people eat... in certain parts of the world, it seems like it is impossible to change. Is there any hope for changing this?
Bats are massive, those bats.
Yeah, I think so. Look, China has put a ban on the consumption of wildlife. I don't know how much you can force that.
What do they consider to be wild?
Although, if there's something that we've learned, is that the Chinese government are very good at forcing things.
What are their rules around what's wild? Like, what if they do they just make the cage bigger and call it wild, or?
I don't know. Look, and I think there'll be a lot of that kind of stuff happening, and whether or not this is just a political manoeuvre to, you know, satisfy the world. Like, hey, look, we've done something. But I think it'll probably be really similar to, like, Japan, where there's the newer generation, the younger generation are kind of really anti, for the most part, whaling. You know, and it's sort of just that older generation that still hang on to it. So we'll see a shift over time. And certainly after this, I think people will be second-guessing what they're eating. But, you know, some of the biggest pandemics that we've all... Sorry, they weren't pandemics. The threats to pandemics that we've had in the recent history...
They all go back to meat, eh?
They do. Swine flu, H1N1, which is also what was related to Spanish flu, which was 1918. You know, those came from animals... bird flu. I mean, these are all...
That came from an animal? Weird.
Yeah.
What about mad cow disease? Did that come from... Is that a cow thing? Or?
Mad cow disease, though, is we were feeding the cows themselves. So it's actually...
That reminds me of the time I was at the beach and I was having some KFC and I threw it to a seagull and I was like, well, that's not correct. Yeah.
I don't know exactly how
close
the seagull and the chicken are in relation to each other, but
close enough,
definitely feeding cows to each other is not a good thing, and we've got that in ourselves as well. So if you're a cannibal, you eventually get prion's disease, where the proteins fold incorrectly. So we've almost got like a natural. I don't know.
What happens there? What happens to cannibals? Like what?
So if you eat yourself, if you eat other humans, you get prion's disease, which basically means that your the proteins in your brain start folding incorrectly and you go crazy.
Is there another name if you start eating yourself for it?
I don't know. Anyone out there?
You know, just around with a peg leg. Oh, I tried that. Yeah, I'm all right. What?
Look, the thigh's better, but it's hard to reach.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
John's just leaning back. I think the bit where you started talking about cows feeding cows to cows, it kind of like he didn't enjoy that very much, I don't think.
It's quite gross. It's really like quite gross when you think about all these diseases that are coming. Like, yeah, I mean, both of the SARS. SARS, so this was the cousin, I guess, of the current coronavirus. That was passed down, that came from civets, raccoons, dogs and bats. So, I mean, those are three species that wouldn't normally be living near each other. But, you know, there's that civet, the people drink the coffee from the civets. Do you know about that?
Nah, dude, you're much smarter than me and John, I think.
It's supposed to be amazing coffee, but the civets, but highly recommend not doing it because it's not very nice for the civets, and it's also gives this spillover event opportunity where we're engaging with these species that we wouldn't normally have this interaction with.
So we
put them in cages. They eat coffee beans, and then they poo them out, and then they use those to make the coffee.
I have heard this, actually. I have heard that. Yeah. And it's something to do with the stomach, sorts it out or something, does something to the bean or whatever.
Yeah, but whatever it does, man, it's not good enough. It's up there with you know, eating, like, using the pangolin for its medicinal benefits. Like,
I actually haven't had a coffee in quite a long time, but like 2 weeks, because I haven't been up at BFM, so.
Oh, my God.
So I'm feeling fantastic.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it has its health benefits, but everybody's pushing the boat out too far on coffee, for sure. Especially when you cruise around and you're in a car and someone's yelling at you for failing to see them.
Yeah, totally. And it's also not environmentally amazing either.
Yeah, true.
That's kind of the issue in a nutshell. You know, we're living really at the edges of where we should be when it comes to interacting with animals. And, even I hate to say it because people are going to hate me saying this, but even your pets, you know, like you've got to be careful about how, you know, we interact with other pets as well. It's not like having a dog lick your face and having animals doing things to you that gives an opportunity for a disease to, mutate and jump species. And one of the diseases that they are a little bit worried about is parvovirus, which is a really nasty, nasty way that dogs die. And I know it came from cats and a few other species before jumping to the dog. So, you know, there is some risk there with our domesticated pets and just having some boundaries there about how we interact with them as well.
Everything needs a good looking at, doesn't it, really?
Yeah. I mean, it's a hard one because we also go, well, you know, there'll be a lot of people out there that live alone and having a pet, you know, that's totally understandable. But just be careful, you know, when a cat sneezes
don't
in your face, like, it's not innocent.
Anyone that kisses their dog and that, no thanks, eh? Like, just brush your teeth normally, bro. Get all your life.
I don't think anyone's tried to brush their teeth by having the dog lick their teeth.
5395, text on in. How many times have you done that?
I feel like somebody somewhere would have probably done that. And what you've got to realise is, like,
if I said it, it's probably happening.
Lick my teeth, dog. Brush my teeth for me.
You don't talk to your dog. That's crazy. Getting it to lick your teeth clean is perfectly normal for most people.
Yeah, so these diseases, like, they'll have a receptor that like, might, like, would never reach, like, a chicken sneezing in your face, for example.
Oh, fuck that. Like, I would just have that chicken, bro. If that chicken did that to me, I'd be like, no.
Yeah, like, that, you know, then all of that, like, it might not have, like, we might not have the receptors close enough, like, our nostrils, the receptors for that.
What are you doing down there if it's sneezing in your face as well?
What was it?
What are you doing down there if a chicken's sneezing in your face? Get out of there. That's not your height. That should sneeze.
This is the whole point of
your
this.
Your ankles are, like, safe, bro.
Yeah, absolutely. You just don't get that close. Don't get that close is watch Tiger King and take a shot every time he gets too close to those animals.
Stop eating Pokemon.
You're going to be very drunk by episode one.
I do recommend it. It's a good one. It's a good one. Okay, Rita, well, that jazz song's just finished, so we should probably call it a day.
Yeah, nice work.
Thank you very much.
Austin Baby is crying.
Oh, really?
Guys.
Take it easy. Thank you, yo.
Bye.
That was Sustaining Alive with Rita Steele on 95 BFM. Bye.